This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 1st of May, 2023. Market finishing last week with a pretty broad rally. We even see the things like Russell 2000 coming back a bit, although that index is not near the highs, and we have spoken about the very narrow nature of this rally, still a concern. But as earnings season has come off better than expected so far on broad brush, and a lot of the mega caps are doing the heavy lifting to get the market higher here, the focus is positive. We are at the resistance essentially here, as we mentioned on slide two, both in the NASDAQ 100, there above 13,300, at least on the future, and the S&P, where we're bumping up against this 4,200 area. And as I note there as well, we have the VIX pounding lower, really an incredible reversal and drop in implied options volatilities. Has that index below 16. This is the first time since all the way back into late 2021, I believe right around the week that the NASDAQ 100 peaked for the cycle at above 16,700. Also the week, and I don't think there's a coincidence here, that saw the expectance speeches or the acceptance speeches for incoming chair and vice chair Powell and Brainard, who made it clear that their next focus as Powell was set to start a new term would be on fighting inflation. And I say maybe no coincidence, because here we have what is being set up as the Fed pivot week. We have a Wednesday FOMC meeting priced to hike 25 basis points and strong market expectations that they indicate a pause for now. We can always talk about they may cut rates further forward, but this is supposedly the Fed pivot. And I think if we look at why are equity markets at the high here, it's the sense that the Fed is set to deliver a pivot. The market seems pretty complacent on where the economy is, maybe expecting a soft landing or maybe something slightly worse, but no major cyclical downturn. And we had last week, so let's not forget, the Friday Bank of Japan meeting, which means that we don't have to worry about one key central bank providing a new tightening on global liquidity with its very long timescale policy review of a year to year and a half. As well, the debt ceiling issue has been sort of punted off into July, it seems, with the latest tax revenue figures, etc. So we just have a very complacent market here, and that's the setup. We do have background concerns. Look for a piece from Stein Jakobsen later today discussing that. So the question is, do we think the market is peaking here soon, or maybe not for another couple months? Of course, impossible to know, but our feeling is that we're sitting uncomfortable with this pretty widespread complacency here. And then on the FX front, we have, if you roll forward a slide there, you can look at the dollar yen there, trading towards the 200-day moving average, and 137, and the high, nominal high, pivot high from March was around 138, also the high for the year. Euro yen ripping to the highest levels since 2008, well above 150. Sterling, I'm not sure where that's getting its strength from. I suspect sterling yen was a popular way to express the potential for a more hawkish shift from the Bank of Japan on Friday, but that one is really going a lot higher, its highest levels in quite some time as well. Nokia, we can talk about that later, but basically the Nordisk Bank indicating it is still doing a lot of FX purchases, notched it down a little bit, but the market thinks it's inappropriate to do the quantity of purchases it is doing relative to incoming oil and gas revenues that it offsets with those purchases. And we saw Euronok extending to yet another high for the cycle. And Ole, you're here in the studio, of course, today as well. You've done your latest review of the COT report, so the weekly futures positioning report in from the U.S. What are you seeing here? Still had a giant bubble of euro longs, but I guess it's still the remaining sort of big position out there.
Yes, indeed, John. It just highlights that this week last week we reached an 11-week high on the gross short and in the dollar. And as you can see on the table there, it's primarily driven by continued strong demand for euro dollars. That length that we reached last week was the highest in 30 months. At the same time, sterling has also just recently flipped back to a net long from a short. And you can see the only notable short that we have right now against the dollar is the yen, and which obviously makes sense given the current developments.
All right, and then the dollar index, kind of interestingly as well, short, even though much of that dollar index is the euro, 58%, I believe it is, of the dollar index is the euro. Okay, let's look at the commodity space here, because I've seen some interesting headlines about Eastern Europe and Ukraine. So the issue being that Ukraine, miraculously for a country torn up by war, is still producing plenty of grain for export. And these some of those exports are being blocked from going into Eastern European countries that are interested in sort of protecting their domestic markets. What's I don't know if you want to speak to that specific sector, but is that affecting the broader wheat picture? And what's going on otherwise in grains as we're getting into the growing season here in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah, well, it's, the growing season is exactly the right cue there, John, because we're getting reports from Canada, from the US, from Europe, from Russia, that they're really expecting quite a bumper crop once again. The weather conditions so far, at the very early stages of the planting season, has been quite favorable, and given a prospect for a normal year or expectations for a normal year, it should be a bumper crop, and that's really adding pressure. And you mentioned Ukraine, then that's part of that's just highlighting the current issue that we've seen quite a big drop in wheat prices also in Europe, and with Ukraine still trying to get some of its last year harvests out if it can't get out the front door, i.e. through the ports, it has to get out through the back door, and that's into the old Eastern European countries where farmers are already struggling to offload their own production. So that's really creating a little bit of a stir in the market. But generally what we're seeing is 1 year on from reaching some extreme levels in the grain markets, we're continuing to see markets come lower. From how speculators are responding to this is obviously with their palms out, so they're selling. That's from the old floor days, and we can see that's really hitting primarily wheat, where the short is I believe the lowest in almost 5 years. We also got a net short now in corn, and overall the blue chart there on the bottom right just to indicate that the total length across these six major crops is now down to only 33,000 lots. It was more than 800,000 a year ago when we had the invasion. So it does obviously indicate that speculative interest in these markets does have its say when it comes to price action.
Yeah, and then on Friday in the oil market, which is to my mind still one of the indicators I look at to see what are the animal spirits or anticipation around a global economic recovery or continuing or strengthening or not. And we're seeing we did see a rally there on Friday, but we're still limping here quite badly.
Yeah, we are indeed. And just before that, I mentioned the COT report earlier, and there's also some COT reports data on this slide. I'll be sending that out later today. And another one that was really interesting last week was the copper market, where there's really some aggressive selling coming into the market. So that one is also now evenly poised, given the market is currently holding a short. So look out for that one as well. But returning to the oil market, the production cut we saw on April 2nd happening on the Sunday, triggering that spike on the following day on the Monday, was really, I think, has reverberated around the market now for several weeks. And it continued last week as we dropped below 80. And as the bounce, as you mentioned there, John, it's slightly difficult to see. But we need to move back above 80.5. If we do that, that could signal some return to stability coming into the market. But as we also have been highlighting recently, the weakness that we've seen in the oil markets come through the refined product market, especially diesel, where there's been quite a lot of weakness in the margins across the world. And that's also reflected last week in the COT report. The gas oil contract, which is the distillate contract in Europe, which basically goes towards diesel, jet fuel and other fuels, basically hit turn to a small net short. We only seen that three times in the last 7 years. So it just highlights the weakness that we're seeing in that fuel market at this moment in time. So most certainly an area worth keeping an eye on from a growth perspective, but most importantly, keep an eye on that 80-50 level in the Brent.
All right. And then on the earnings front, we don't have Peter with us today. He should be back tomorrow to help take us through the earnings calendar for this week. But I just highlighted myself on slide 7. You can get the overview, all the names reporting this week. AMD set to report tomorrow. A very interesting company for many reasons. Became the big rival to Intel in a big way in recent years. Look at that spectacular chart price, which you had to put on a logarithmic scale just to appreciate how high it came up and from the 2018 and prior time frame into the highs. It's about mid-range from where it was, where it peaked out to where it bottomed out there. And you can see why anticipation is not great here for the stock relative to where it was a year and a half ago or so. When you look at those year-on-year anticipated top-line numbers. So it was growing at a clip of 50, 70% a few quarters back. That slipped 29% and 16%. And now expecting the net headline to actually shrink slightly year on year. But this is one of the companies very closely associated with the AI phenomenon. So there could be a lot of interest in this report from that angle, given the buzz that AI has and any guidance they provide around seeing pickup and demand or not linked to AI. They have a number. I just checked their website this morning. They have a number of sort of service solutions, et cetera, that they're sort of positioning as responding to and relevant for deep learning and AI. So an interesting one there, I think, along the lines of that theme. And if we go forward to the macro calendar, first let's I'll throw it to you, Ola. These crop reports and winter wheat condition, you've already spoke to those. How much does the market sort of trigger off of the news that comes out of these types of reports?
Well, I put them in this week. They've actually been they're reporting these on a weekly basis. I've been doing that for a while, but now that we're getting into the growing season, it does create some volatility, and it can create volatility in the market because the planting process is what we are at right now, and that's basically the speed of how quick they get these planted compared to previous averages. So that's why we're keeping an eye on those. The winter wheat condition has been dismal recently. It has improved a little bit. So it's just generally reports that can create some stir in the market. And I think at this point, as we mentioned, where the market is has almost given up all hope for any recovery, then that any change or any delays to the planting could have a supporting impact.
All right. And then we have the ISM manufacturing. There were a couple of the regional ones that came in a little bit firmer late last week. So I don't even have the expected number in front of me. I don't think the market's anticipating a lot here, but a huge shocker could affect sentiment at the margin. The bigger one is the ISM services, but as we've covered lately, the very confusing soft data is just making it difficult to navigate or draw any conclusions from these different surveys. They're at odds with each other, in some cases because they measure different parts of the whether it's the manufacturing or services complex, but well, we'll just see. Tonight we have overnight we have on Tuesday in Australia the cash rate target. There's no change expected there. I think the more interesting thing for RBA is this transition to the new setup, and that's in July or after. But let's hear what they have to say. All things China reopening are just kind of limping along here. Copper's towards the lows of its recent range, etc. So there's just not a lot of excitement around the Australian dollar. It's very much stuck in the range and not trading. Not looking like it's able to find inspiration from anything until something makes a bigger move to support it or to act against it. Tomorrow is very important for the Eurozone or for the ECB meeting on Thursday, because we have that April CPI, the flash one, which includes a core measure. And by the way, that core is expected to drop to 5.6% year on year versus 5.7% year on year in March. And that 5.7% in March was the high for the cycle. Compare that with the U.S., where the CPI core peaked in last September and the PCE core peaked in February of last year, more than a year ago. So an important couple of data point there, together with an ECB quarterly bank lending survey tomorrow morning as well. So those will be like the sort of two final setup data points ahead of the Thursday rate decision. The market looking for the 25 basis points. Really the vast majority now, there's almost no anticipation of 50 basis points, but the guidance will be important given that they're expected to hike a further 50 basis points. Whereas, of course, as we indicate on the Fed, will they sort of confirm the market's anticipation of a glide path here after hiking your final 25 basis points? All right, to round it up, it's rally time here in the U.S. equity market. It's pushing against resistance. We are concerned about the level of complacency. Difficulty being, is this the highest? Are these the highest now? Are they soon? Or are they not somewhere off over the horizon into the summer? There is the expression "sell in May and go away." Apropos that, it is May 1st. But we'll of course see where the day-to-day action takes us, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall. Or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.